morning.
Good morning.
A bunch of announcements in the bulletin. I didn't even pick one up. I'm going to forego the bulletin announcements. Pay attention to Google Groups, to the email. If you do not have access to the Google Group email and you have another way you want me to communicate with you as far as any announcements going forward here with the coronavirus and cancellations of activities within the church, get with me after church. And whether it's you want me to call you or whatever. Yes, sir. I got your message this morning, and I was going to send out another email today. So Lutheran Men in Mission will not meet tomorrow. Next Monday. Correct. All right. So with all that being said, I'm going to go over a little something here. So the council had an emergency called meeting on Friday evening and voted to proceed with today's modified Sunday worship service and canceled the March 18th Lent service. Effective immediately, the following modifications will continue for the next couple of weeks and longer if needed. No communion. During the peace, there'll be no hugs, handshakes, fists, or elbow bumps, pumps. Show the peace sign, wave, nod. Offering plates will not be passed. It is suggested to drop off your offering in the plates. Got two here, got two in the back. As you leave, plates will be up front and in the narthex. No prayer shawls will be passed around. Bulletins will be placed in the narthex and up front for you to pick up. Bulletins will not be handed out by the ushers. It is highly suggested that if you are sick, please stay at home. We suggest that all spread out within the church pews to give everyone their needed space. And if you are 65 or over and over, please use your own judgment to attend the worship services. All communion instruments are being sterilized. Every doorknob, every pew, chair, and other surface that we could get to has been sanitized. The cancellations and postponements within the church at this point, mark your calendars accordingly. Agape will not meet tomorrow, Monday the 16th. Choir practice for Wednesday the 18th has been canceled. The fifth Sunday potluck on March the 29th has been canceled. Lutheran Men in Mission has been canceled for the month of March. The teen parent program has been postponed, a new date to be determined. The silly youth trip to the Caladium North has been postponed. There'll be a new date to be determined with that. And here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, we're taking this one day at a time. Please keep a check on your emails, as that is the way I will communicate during the week. If you have any questions or concerns about from the floor about the coronavirus at this time concerning Holly Grove Lutheran Church, if I can answer it, I will. If anybody has any questions or concerns. I also put out at the front a piece of paper that, Eddie, can you grab that one that's got the green dots on it? I don't know if everybody got one, but there's a paper in the back that has a list of symptoms, and it tells you that those symptoms are for the coronavirus, a common cold, or the flu. It's good to know what symptoms go with what. Pick you one up when you go out. At that time, I have nothing else. Pastor Talent, do you have anything you want to add to any of this?
Well, this is new to all of us. And we just have to figure it out as we go, I think. The reason for a lot of this stuff going on, I was reading this week, is not that it's necessarily going to keep any of us from getting the illness, But what they're trying to do is make sure that there's not a sudden surge of people sick in the hospitals, because the hospitals would be overwhelmed and probably have difficulty taking care of people, particularly in light of so many people needing the ventilation. And there are just a limited number of ventilators available, which I guess is common sense if you thought about it, but it never occurred to me that that's part of what was going on. It's not, because they don't have a cure for this and they don't have a vaccine, but they're trying to keep the numbers of people getting sick from peaking too suddenly and overwhelming the hospitals, because most people older will end up in the hospital. It's based partly on experience in other countries. I read a lengthy article this week about the Singapore church, and that part is not related to the church, but the Singapore church went through this earlier because of their proximity to China. And there are a large number of Christians there, and what their experience was to say, whatever you do, some people will not like it. If you have services, some people will be unhappy and think you're risking people. If you don't have services, people think you're giving into the world or whatever. And it's a challenge for us together as a congregation to figure out what's best for us and what's best for our community in light of just a very difficult situation and a very dangerous disease for some people. So.
Well, I guess we'll go on to our birthdays. Birthdays this week, Mr. Ty Heitman. Happy birthday today, right? 16. Dee Watkins, Taylor Fritz, Walt Anderson, Rebecca Kepley, Mandy Lawrence, and Gavin Ferguson. Happy anniversary to Mr. Gary and Judy McLean, Chris and Emily Beck, Ben and Angela Palmer. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. In their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I apologize, I want to make one more statement. The call committee. The five call committee members, we will be installing those next Sunday. Thank you very much.
I invite those who are able to stand as we join in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, for the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, You quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite the children to come up. How are you folks today? Good. None of you are sick? Good. What are you going to do for the next 2 weeks?
Watch TV.
Watch TV? What else? You're not sure yet, right? What does it feel like to have a 2-week unexpected vacation? Weird? Right? Unexpected. Life brings us things that are unexpected sometimes, and sometimes they're wonderful. You know, you get a present or a surprise that you really wanted, or maybe you didn't know you wanted until you got it. Did you ever get a present or a surprise you discovered that you really liked, but you never thought that you wanted it? Sometimes life brings that. Sometimes life brings things that are unexpected that we don't want. I mean, I can remember being in school, hard as that is to believe for you, but I was once in school, and I can remember back then the longest stretch was between Christmas and Easter. Because in the fall you got off for Thanksgiving and you had a couple holidays in the fall back then and got off this long break for Christmas, and then you had this long time that you didn't get any breaks. And I can remember sitting in class looking at the clock thinking about, man, that's the slowest clock I ever saw. When are we ever going to get out of school again? And I was always happy when Easter came. Every now and then you get a snow day, right? But that's a day or two. But 2 weeks, that's a long time. And it's not for a reason that's fun or something you expected. It's for something that can be kind of scary to hear people talk about. Sometimes I think the news makes us more afraid of things than maybe we should be. The good news about this particular scary thing is that it usually does not badly affect young children. Most of the time, children just get kind of a cold and get over it. So that's the good news. But then you can share it if you get sick. You may give it to somebody else who's older, who doesn't respond as well. And one of the things that Paul tells us is that sometimes life brings bad things that happen. Paul was arrested more than once just for telling the story of Jesus. He was punished more than once just for telling the story of Jesus. But he said through it all, he remembered that Jesus was with him, that Jesus was watching over him no matter what happened. And so that even in the difficult times or the hard times, he knew that God still loved him. And it was knowing that God loved him and was watching over him that kept him strong and that helped him to do the things he did, even though he was afraid, even though he was suffering. Today our lesson talks about suffering can come in our life, but that even in the midst of that suffering, Jesus is still with us, and Jesus still cares for us, and Jesus still watches over us. And in this time, when you have an unexpected break, that's not really a break you wanted, maybe, there are a couple things you can do, though, to help yourself and to help others. And one of those, I would ask you, is to take a little time every day and pray. And pray for those who are sick with this disease. And pray for the doctors and the nurses and all those who are trying to help care for us and keep us healthy. It doesn't take a long time. But if each of us, every day, would take some time to pray, it will help others. But it will also help us, because when we take time to pray and talk to God, we remember that God is with us, that God is watching us, and that Jesus is always caring for us. Okay? Let us pray now. Dear Jesus, help us to trust you.
Help us to trust you.
Help us to stay strong.
Help us to stay strong.
Even when we're afraid. Watch and keep our families safe.
Watch and keep our families safe.
In the weeks to come.
In the weeks to come.
Give wisdom.
Give wisdom.
To doctors and those who take care of us.
To doctors and those who take care of us.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thanks for coming up.
Reading for the third Sunday of Lent is from the 17th chapter of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 95, and it will be read whole verse by whole verse. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his name are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed.
O come, let us worship our God. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice.
Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness.
When your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. Therefore, in my anger, I swore they shall not enter my rest. The second reading is from the fifth chapter of Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. The children of Israel were thirsty. They grumbled against God and Moses. They complained. They complained a lot as time went by. But on this occasion in particular, the grumbling was significant, and Moses complained to God because he said, "They're grumbling against me, and I'm afraid they're going to stone me." So when God gave him instructions, he gave him instructions not just for Moses to take the staff out and hit the rock, but for Moses to take the elders with him so that he was not alone in doing this. And it was an action of Moses and the elders at the direction of God. When you read the passage, you read that it talks about God even standing on the rock, so that it was clear to the people that the water came not from Moses, not from the staff, not because even the elders were there, but because God sent the water, and their thirst was quenched. But they would not be happy very long. If you remember the story of the Exodus, you know that this tension between Moses and the people, and between God and the people, and even between God and Moses, was an ongoing aspect of their life together. This conflict. But it began because the people were thirsty. It began with a natural human need. They truly were thirsty. They were in a wilderness area. They weren't asking for something they didn't need, but they asked in a way that expressed distrust for Moses and for God in what God had done. They asked in a way that communicated they didn't really think they could trust God, and they didn't really trust Moses for having done God's will and having their interests at heart. This issue of trust is a major issue in how we live with life, how we deal with life. Jesus came to a well, and he was thirsty. We're reminded in this of his very human presence. We sometimes want to spiritualize Jesus, but he was as human as you and I, and he was thirsty. But one wonders, as we go through this lengthy story, what his thirst truly was that day. He crossed over lots of social barriers to talk to this woman. Jews and Samaritans worshiped the same God, but they had dramatic differences in their beliefs and understanding, partly because the Samaritans had intermarried with other people while the Jews were in exile. And because of this, there was resentment on the part of many Jews toward the Samaritans. And the Samaritans were equally resentful because of the way they were treated or mistreated by the Jews. Jesus asked her for a drink, and the comment about her asking him, "Would you drink from a Samaritan?" The author then notes that they don't share the same utensils. It's not so much her offering him water or providing him water in response to his request. It is that it's her jug. It's a Samaritan jug. Their views were so strong you couldn't even share the same utensils. Now, we tend not to share utensils, but that's because we know all about sanitation. So it's a whole different issue. But for them, it was simply the fact that this was a jug held by a Samaritan woman belonging to the Samaritan people. And yet Jesus asks her for a drink and says he's thirsty. Now, what follows is a striking passage in John, because this is the longest individual conversation Jesus has in the gospel. The conversation with this woman, who's a Samaritan, who's looked down on by Jews. In addition, as a woman, rabbis were normally not supposed to be talking to them, especially not alone without other people around. So Jesus is breaking lots of barriers to talk to this woman. The other thing that happens here that's striking is that Jesus shares his need with someone else. Most of the time we see Jesus as fulfilling other people's needs, as taking care of them. But here Jesus expresses a need to this woman, making him vulnerable in some way to her. And she responds with this conversation and wants to understand why he asks. In some ways it's a bit of a cheeky conversation. One wonders if that is somehow related to her views and her experience. She's here at noon to get her water. That means she's not in good relations with the other women in the village, because normally they would all go together to the well. And most of this is probably stuff you remember from when this lesson's come up before. She was there alone. She didn't go with the other people, either because she was ashamed to be with them or because they rejected her. In the heat of the day, the village she lived in was probably at least a mile and a half away, so it's a pretty long walk on a hot day carrying a jug. And then you fill the jug and take it back to the city or the town where you live. But she's there in the middle of the day. The other thing that happens is when lots of people dip the water out, sometimes the water gets dirty. Not so much, maybe dirty is the wrong word, but it gets muddled. Like you see water at the stream bed sometimes gets muddled up with the mud and stirred up. It's not as smooth and clear as it is sometimes. And since this is a spring that feeds the well, everything settles out overnight, the water cools off, so the water in the morning is much to be preferred, but she's here in the middle of the day. She's here likely because other people don't want her around. And yet Jesus talks to her. Jesus asks her for water. And then they carry on the conversation, because Jesus says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for living water, that is fresh water, running water like you would see in a stream or a river, and I would give it to you. And she says, you don't have anything to get water with. And then he goes on in this conversation. It becomes clear that he's talking not about physical water, but something else. Living water. Salvation. Now the Samaritans, unlike the Jews, their view of the Messiah was that it would be a prophet like Moses. And so her talking references back to the prophet, and the greatness of the prophet who gave them the well. And Jesus then responds by saying, the one you seek is the one to whom you speak. I am he. And actually it just says I am. And I am is the same term or phrase that's used by God to Moses. I am who I am. This is one of the times Jesus uses that same phrase, I am, in response to her question. And then he asked her to go bring her husband, which would be an expected question for someone, a rabbi, to speak to a woman. And she says, I don't have one. And he says, yeah, I know. You've had five. The one you're with now is not your husband. Now, the thing about this is that there are two ways that she could probably have had five husbands. One is she had terrible luck in life. And that is, she married someone and they died, or more likely in Jewish tradition, she married someone who died and then married a brother. Remember the story Jesus told, or was asked, the question Jesus was asked one time about somebody who died and married a brother and he died and so on and so on and so on. So that's one possibility of how she had five husbands. Another possibility is that she was divorced. You need to know that in that culture, women couldn't divorce men. If she'd been divorced, it wasn't through any act of her own. It was through the act of the man. So she had essentially been rejected or abandoned. It could be one of the reasons for divorce was an inability to have children. And if she could not have children, then she may have been divorced. And so at this point in her life, whatever the history, she's not married and she's living with someone, which was very unacceptable in her world. The striking thing about Jesus' response is that he doesn't try to shame her or condemn her. He accepts her as she is and shares the hope that he offers. And it says she goes back and shares it with people in the village and becomes, I guess you could say, the first Gentile missionary or evangelist, and takes the message to the village, and she presents it in such a way not to say, this is the way, this is the one. She simply says, he told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? A simple question. And the people go out to see and find out if this could be the Messiah. While she's on this journey, the disciples are wanting to know how he got food, why he's not eating, and they really want to know why he was talking to this Samaritan woman. But that's not the question they really ask, being the disciples. They just wonder in her mind what he was doing. And they ask other questions. And when she comes back, or the villagers come back, he goes with them to the village. And he spends 2 days there, which was unheard of for a Jew to stay in a Samaritan village. Because not only was he sharing space with them, he shared their utensils. He shared the things they owned. And shared who he was and who God was, and shared the promise of God's love and grace. And it says that many came to believe. So we think of her as a kind of minor character in some way, but she is, just as the disciples, just as Mary Magdalene, a witness, an evangelist, who shares the good news, who changed people's lives, who led people to Jesus. We too have that opportunity in this Lenten season. We focus a lot on our own spiritual journey, but part of that spiritual journey should be to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. In this time of confusion and way too much fear out in the world, we need to be a place of hope. We're reminded of this by Paul's writings. In the midst of whatever suffering there may be, Christ is still there. And we're called to endure and to continue and to be faithful. One of the things that these churches in Singapore had said was, use this time to strengthen your ministry, to be aware of those people out there who have special needs because of this. And you've read about some of them, people who are out of work because their businesses are shut down. People who are struggling just to get by normally and really will be faced with struggling. Children who are going to be home from school for 2 weeks, and many children in schools these days depend on the schools for much of their food and support in their system. There may be children alone out there because they have no one to watch them when they're out of school. So what they said was, try to find ways to reach out to make a difference for people. Because when you reach out to people who are in need or difficulty, they remember, and it can make a difference in their life. And the other thing is to use this time for prayer. To pray for those, as I told the children, who are sick, but also those who are trying to find answers, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, the healthcare people who are trying to provide care and to find a way to deal with this and keep people safe. Yes, it's a challenging time. Yes, there are people suffering. And we are called to endure in our Christian life and journey. But we endure by making a difference for the sake of Christ. Not by saying we have the answers, but by asking the question, could this be the Messiah? Could this be God's working in our world to make a difference, to remind people of the importance of faith, the importance of trust in the midst of difficulty and fear? This Lenten season, this Lenten journey has taken a direction none of us would have expected or wanted, but it's still our Lenten journey, and we're still on the way with Christ. And as I told the children, Christ is with us in the midst of all of this. We need to call on Him, but we also need to respond to His love by reaching out in whatever way we can to make a difference. Amen.
Come to me, O who wills to lose me, drink the water.
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 or on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer for the church, the world, and all people in need. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, your living water given to quench our deepest thirst. Thank you that Jesus provides exactly what we need most, your goodness, love, forgiveness, and life. Lord, in your mercy, make your worldwide church a place where your living water flows. In it, quench the thirst, heal the hearts, and cleanse the souls of people perishing from the powers of sin, evil, and death. Inspire all pastors, deacons, theologians, and teachers to share your holy word so that many may hear and come to believe that your Son is the Savior of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus said, "The fields are ripe for the harvest." Therefore, we pray that you may send, guide, guard, and strengthen missionaries to preach the good news. We also ask that you make each of us disciples on a mission with you to share the living water. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy, O God, on this congregation. Do not let us become a place of grumbling or quarreling, but rather a place to worship you in spirit and in truth, to care for one another with gentle hearts, and to share the living water of your Son with everyone we know or meet. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on our nation, its elected and appointed leaders, its people, and the people of every land. We pray especially for our President Donald, our Governor Roy, and for all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Although we are all ungodly and rebellious, save us, we pray. Give us hearts and minds that delight in your law and will set to obey it. Remove from us and from every nation the spirit of discord and strife, and crown us with the blessing of your peace. Lord, in your mercy, refresh and heal with your living water everyone troubled by sickness, pain, grief, despair, fear, guilt, or confusion. Especially we pray for all those dealing with or responding to the COVID-19 virus, and all those researching treatments, those giving care, and indeed all healthcare workers. We pray for Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Karen, Steve, Janine, Tina, Randy, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Robert, Gary, Cleston, Kenneth, Lynn, Kay, Randy, Tommy, Eva Ray, David, Clyde, Pauline, the Pless family, Brooke, Edwina, the family of Dan Parks, Banks, the family of Regina Mize Warren, Jason and family, our servicemen and women all over the world, those who are unemployed or looking for work. Restore all to health and wholeness and give them renewed strength, unshakable hope, and abiding faith in your gracious compassion. Lord, in your mercy, with reverence and affection, we entrust our beloved dead into your unfailing care. Wipe away the tears of all those whose grief runs deep. Refresh us with your word and sacraments. Speed the day. In spirit and in truth, the whole company of the redeemed will worship you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Peace. We will not actually be passing the plates. We encourage you to make your offering as you are able. Our choir will present their anthem, and we will be singing the doxology following the anthem.
Let us pray. Holy and generous host, you set a table where we feast as friends. Prepare us to witness to your goodness with every gift you have given us to share, that all people may know your peace through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.